Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. Earned a Bachelor of Business Administration in Finance and Sociology from the University of Notre Dame, and a Master of Business Administration from Duke. Since 2021, he's been the COO of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation and oversees its humanitarian hotel portfolio, St. John's Resort in Plymouth, the Inn at Stonecliff in Mackinac Island, and the Hilton Garden Inn in Laramie, West Virginia. He's also the president of the Catholic Initiative. His name, Kevin Doyle. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Kevin Doyle, the COO of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation. Kevin, it's an honor to have you back once again.
Jack, it's an honor to be here. I appreciate you welcoming me on and let me share the stage with you.
All right. Talk about growing up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and about your mom and your dad, if you would.
I'd love to. I am the proud son of Julie and Peter Doyle, who were both graduates of Notre Dame, as were their parents, their fathers. And so we grew up in Lynchburg. My dad was ran an accounting firm that he started. My mom owned a small business, a clinical research business, and was chair of just about every board you can imagine in town, from the school board to the hospital board to now she's chair of the University of Lynchburg, university in town. And so I learned a ton from them as people. I learned a lot of work ethic from my father, and I learned a lot of leadership and empathy and making a difference in the community from my mother. And they sent me and my other two sisters off to Notre Dame, and we try to continue that legacy on ourselves, each in our own way.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
I think the biggest thing I learned from my dad was just the importance of having just an incredible work ethic, and you want the reputation in your community as someone who works hard for others, works hard for their family, and who's incredibly loyal for their family. My dad is more of a family man than almost anybody I think I've ever met. And I learned from my mom the empathy and compassion for others. She made sure that we were doing community service on a fairly regular basis. She would take us to the local soup kitchen, Daily Bread. She was always present in the community, whether it was in one of her formal roles or one of her informal roles, and then would come home and explain why she was doing what she was doing and why it was important and why we need to be looking out for others and not only treating people the way that we would be treated, but making sure that we're exemplifying that and going out of our way to look out for others. And so I think both of those have helped define me. Define my mindset in life.
We're talking to Kevin Doyle. He's the COO of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation. Let's talk about the iconic Bill Pulte. You know, earlier you mentioned that your parents taught you make a difference, give community service. This was Bill Pulte. Tell us about the one-of-a-kind Bill Pulte.
Well, I got to know Bill when I started dating his granddaughter, I guess, in college, who I married, Caitlin Pulte Doyle, and we've had five wonderful kids together. And so I got to know Bill over the course of Caitlin and I have been together for 16 years, and Bill died six years ago, I think. So I knew him for about a decade. He really was iconic, like you said, Jack, and one of a kind, and someone who, always personified not only an entrepreneur, not only a leader, but someone who wanted to use those talents to make the world a better place. And all the money he made, he wanted to go to make the world a better place. And I just, when you have someone like that who has that mindset, and they're capable and talented enough to make a difference, but also selfless enough to make a difference, I mean, you put those two things together, and it's pretty remarkable. He did that in the Detroit area silently for decades. People didn't even know how big of a philanthropist he was. And now as a part of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation, we try to carry on that legacy, his legacy of giving, his legacy of excellence, to make our community and make the world a better place.
He built his first home at 18. He gave the second home he ever built to his mom and dad. In 2005, Forbes named him the 486th richest person in the world. And I had the pleasure, the honor, of playing golf with him several times. And he might have made $10 million that day on the Pulte stock, but we only bet a nickel a hole. And he would, Kevin, if he had three golf balls in his pocket, two of them had smiles with them, and one was a Top Flight, one was a Nike, and one was a Callaway that he had found in the woods. Your father-in-law, Mark, says, Dad was bred to be frugal, and that's how we lived to the day he
died. And he was just so humble in that way. I mean, we have so many stories of him like that, you know, asking for rides to the airport because he had to pay for, you know, from strangers so they didn't have to buy a taxi, pay for a taxi. I mean, his material things just were not important to him. And I think that's one of the things that makes him a very special man.
A couple of quotes from him. I asked him to write me his philosophy of life. I have 200 of these. His is the shortest. The measure of one's true success is their inner peace. Another thing he said was love, kindness, and generosity. When we love ourselves. When we are kind to ourselves. When we give to ourselves. Love, kindness, generosity. We're talking to Kevin Doyle. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the chapter of his life when he was a consultant at Deloitte Consulting. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Kevin Doyle. From 2011 to 2021, he was a strategy consultant for Deloitte Consulting. Talk about that chapter of your life, Kevin.
Well, Jack, that was a very formative chapter for me. I had spent my life prior to that wanting to be the athletics director at Notre Dame. That was my career goal. That was the mission I had. And it wasn't just because I loved Notre Dame, and it wasn't just because I thought sports were fun, but because, in a longer story, but for me, sports had played such a pivotal role in my life and in the lives of others that I grew up with, that I saw sports, in particular college sports, as a means to make a difference on people who could go out and make a difference in the world. And I wanted to be part of facilitating that. Plus, I also had a deep passion for Notre Dame and the fact that I think it truly can be a force for good in the world. And so that was my goal after, you know, going through college and after graduation of college. But I felt like if I was going to be successful in that, in getting to that point, I needed to be able to know how to run a business. That was the way it seemed like college sports was going at that point in time, and it's only gone much more that way since. And so I wanted to go out and get real world business experience that I could hopefully bring back to the college athletics world. That's how I got started at Deloitte. I mean, to me, it was almost like getting strategy consulting was like getting an MBA in the real world. And I ended up getting focused when I was there within the travel hospitality sector, because that's where sports fell into in the Deloitte orbit. And that's how I learned about hotels. And that's how I got interested in the hotel industry. And I had a phenomenal experience there. I traveled around the world to Hong Kong and to London and Belgium and Miami and a bunch of states within the, in the U.S. consulting for different travel hospitality companies. I weathered the pandemic as a hospitality consultant. I was chief of staff for our travel hospitality practice at one point, which we did over $1 billion a year in business in that industry. And so I got a great experience learning how to run businesses and advise businesses at the highest level. And even more so, I just learned from people who were 20 times smarter than me, which, you know, those are the rooms you want to be in, places where you feel like you're the dumbest person in the room. And I felt like that every single day at work. And so I look back on that experience fondly, and it was very hard to actually leave because of how great of an experience I was having there, the people I worked with, and in particular, the just the culture of a place like Deloitte, I loved a lot of things about it. But ultimately decided I wanted to find a way to mix my passion for the travel hospitality business and business in general with a mission that I felt called to support. And that's what led me to the Pulte Foundation.
Well, your father-in-law, Mark Pulte, convinced you in 2021, Kevin, come on, be the COO of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation. Tell us about the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation, please.
Well, we talked earlier about Bill and the legacy that he had. And, you know, when he passed away, he left his fortune to endow this foundation that's focused on serving vulnerable people and populations locally and all around the world. And everything we do, we're guided by that. We're guided by the call to serve the seven corporate works of mercy, to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless, give drink to the thirsty, et cetera. And so we look to do that both through what we call near-term giving or sustenance for today giving, where we give grants to organizations that are serving the corporate works of mercy, homeless shelter, soup kitchen, local schools, home building projects in third world countries, et cetera, tilapia farm in Central America. So we grant to those organizations, but then we're also increasingly looking to both fund and build communities where those of vulnerable populations can live amazing lives today and tomorrow. We do that by taking a more of a partnership approach where we're seed funding big projects and then getting others to come stand along with us to really help transform those communities for generations. And that's what the Catholic Initiative is about. That's what the Monarca, it's an affordable housing project's about, our ideal place. And, you know, I also oversee our humanitarian hotels, which in its own way is quite an innovative partnership, we feel, and a sustainable one to make a difference through hospitality and having hospitality be a force for good.
We'll talk about the Catholic Initiative later. If you want to learn more, www.pulte.org. The Pulte Family Foundation in 2019, friends, gave Notre Dame $111 million. That was before you got there, okay? You get, in 2021, you come on board, and in August of 2021, the Pulte Foundation buys St. John's Retreat Center from the Archdiocese of Detroit. How and why?
How and why? The how is that Bill had been involved in St. John's since Cardinal Mida originally concepted, turned it from a closed-down seminary to a Catholic conference center. So Bill had been around it, Mark had been around it, and when the Archdiocese made the decision that they wanted to sell it, the foundation was a natural buyer for that because of the history and because knowing that if they sold St. John's to our foundation, the history and the character of it would carry on, the mission would carry on. All 100% of the profits we make are going to go to charity. That carries on versus maybe an independent investor. And so that's some of the how. The why for us was twofold. One was by having a couple of hotels within our foundation's endowment, it's a diversification strategy within the endowment. I mean, most of our endowment is not in hard assets like a hotel or real estate, but it helps diversify that and helps fund our annual charitable giving that we do. But on top of that, we, you know, Mark and Nancy and Karen, our board, and myself as I came on, felt like hotels could really be a multiplier effect on our mission. It's one thing to give a grant to another organization, but it's even more to live out those principles in a business like this, or to have that hotel play a bigger role in the community. And so our humanitarian hotels are not only about having amazing properties like St. John's, but also, and not only about giving money away to charity, which we do 100% of the profits go to charity, but about taking on programs and initiatives at those hotels that serve that same mission, whether that's giving food to soup kitchens, whether that's housing formerly homeless or formerly incarcerated people who need a second chance on life in providing employment programs for them. We hire people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The list goes on of the things that we would grant money to and do grant money to, but that we also use those hotels as a platform to serve those same groups. It's having an even more exponential impact on the mission we serve than we could just by having a traditional investment.
I believe there are 4 humanitarian hotels in America. You own 3 of them: St. John's Resort Golf and Conference Center here in town, the Inn at Stonecliff in Mackinac, and the Hilton Garden Inn in Laramie, West Virginia. What is a humanitarian hotel?
Well, it's this humanitarian hotel concept we've created is that it's a hotel that is excellent on its own, place that you want to go, even if there is no charity component to it. It's just an amazing hotel, resort, golf course. Whatever we're going to do, we want to do it with excellence. But it's a hotel or a resort that also gives 100% of its profits away to charity. And that's what we do as a nonprofit that owns this hotel. So everything that we have to pay operating expenses, we have to pay the people that work there. But after that, all of that money gets granted out to other organizations that are serving those in need and serving people in the community. And then we also use the hotels to do that same work. And we take on philanthropic programming for the employees, for the guests, for other local nonprofits that represent our foundation's mission of serving people in need. So a humanitarian hotel is something that does all 3 of those things, and they're all equally important to that mission.
We're talking to Kevin Doyle. Think about how cold it must be at the Inn at Stonecliff in Mackinac Island this last couple of weeks, and how much snow they must have up there. Okay, that's another show. When we come back, we're going to ask Kevin to paint for us a picture of St. John's Resort Golf and Conference Center in Plymouth, Michigan today. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Kevin Doyle. If you want to learn more, www.pulte.org. Kevin, paint for us a picture of St. John's Resort today.
Well, St. John started as a seminary for the Archdiocese of Detroit in the late 40s. It was a seminary for decades. After it closed, they reopened it in the early 2000s as a Catholic conference center and retreat center with golf course. We took it over in 2021 with the vision that St. John's could be a place where you can really experience luxury hospitality in a completely one-of-a-kind setting that's rich with history, rich with architectural beauty, just naturally beautiful. And it could be this timely and timeless place with the right strategy and the right investments, all for a better cause through our humanitarian hotel mission. So if you go to St. John's today, we've got 124 great hotel rooms. We've got 100,000 square feet of meeting space, some of which we've updated and kept the historical beauty, but freshened it up. Some of which we've rebuilt, like the Monarch Ballroom, which we built in between the old borderline dilapidated dorm rooms. They were on the property. We now have 3 restaurants, a steakhouse, an Irish pub, and a wine bar. And we have a golf course that is truly world-class and such that for the second year in a row, it's going to host Live Golf's World Championship Tournament. So St. John's for us is a oasis within the Metro Detroit area, a place where you can have a one-stop shop destination to do golf, dinner, wedding reception, rehearsal dinner. You can do it all without ever having to necessarily leave the property. And it was recently named the number one hotel and the number one resort in the state of Michigan for a reason. It's because we have an amazing team there that's providing those services. And then the cherry on top is all of them goes to charity. And we also are doing charitable works every day on that property.
If you want to learn more, www.saintjohnsresort.com. I'm there once or twice a week, friends. World-class service. Everything is first class. Everything is first class. You and your team, Kevin, do a phenomenal job. It's a ministry that you have to that end. So,
well, it's amazing what you can do, Jacqueline. I take no credit. It's the team that does it all. It's amazing what you can do when you have a team that is totally committed to both excellence and, you know, a broader mission, right? And we have so many of those people there at St. John. They do an outstanding job.
You're being a little humble. You spent $50 million to redo the golf course.
Not just the golf course. That includes some of the other stuff too. But we spent a lot, and we're seeing that return. So,
okay. Liv came in August of 2025. The players loved it, and they're coming back. Talk about when they're coming in 2026, please.
Yeah, they came last year on a 1-year arrangement, and they took the whole property for a week, and it was really a testament, I think, to the vision that we had when we originally started with St. John's back in 2021, and the team that we have on the ground that's made it what it is today. To see a global organization like that come in and want to use our property for exactly what we designed it to be, which was this one-stop shop destination, because they could have gone anywhere. They didn't have to come to Michigan at all, much less to St. John's. And they came for 1 year, and it was pretty clear by the time they were partially through the week that they're going to want to come back again, because it was perfect for what they need. The community was clearly, from the first day of the tournament, really engaged in that tournament. I think people had so much fun there, and the players had a great experience, and the Liv team had a great experience, and Michigan really showed out. And so we were really privileged that they're coming back again. And I think this year gives both of our organizations a chance to do it even better. And I think 2026 will be a bigger and even better tournament than last year was. And it really was an exciting, just fun atmosphere. And that was, I think, what we were most happy about, was just how much fun everybody was able to have, and to see St. John's in that light, which is, again, the vision we had when we originally started investing in this place, was it could be a destination like this. And we're glad that they saw it the first time, and we're glad that they loved it enough that they're coming back a second time.
www.saintjohnsresort.com. It's the old Archdiocese of Detroit Major Seminary. Talk about the chapel. 250-plus weddings a year in this magnificent chapel, Kevin.
Well, I don't think there's very many hotel and resort transactions that require Vatican approval, but this one did because of that chapel, because it's the history of the chapel, and because it's still active. I mean, normally when you have an archdiocese that's going to sell maybe land that they're not using anymore, everything gets decommissioned. But that was incredibly important to us, that this chapel remains active and remains a place where the sacraments can still be hosted. The Blessed Sacrament is still, your Blessed Eucharist is in the chapel. And so it's such a special, holy place right in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of St. John's. And that juxtaposition for us is meaningful and incredibly important. And it's wonderful to see, the weddings that happen there, the masses that continue to happen for groups that have never been able to go to a conference or an event where they can also have a mass, alongside during the middle of the week. We were just talking to Liv, and we even had mass during Liv week, including with some of the Liv leadership who didn't really understand that was something that could be done. But once they realized that, asked if we could help facilitate having mass there on the ground during the week. And so bringing all that's at the center of everything that we do as a foundation. And it's amazing that it gets to be at the center of St. John's Resort.
We're talking to Kevin Doyle. He's also the president of the Catholic Initiative, which the foundation has recently launched. When we come back, we're going to learn about the Catholic Initiative. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life. like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard. Persistence always wins out. Discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Kevin Doyle, the president of the Catholic Initiative and the COO of the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation. Kevin, latest initiative, the Catholic Initiative, what is it?
So the Catholic Initiative, Jack, was really born out of the humanitarian hells that we've been talking about. But I'll take a step back on that and just say that for our foundation, you know, we feel a tremendous responsibility to maximize the impact of the fortune that Bill left this foundation with. And everything we do, we are always thinking, how can we make the most with our resources? How can we punch way above our weight as a foundation and have five times the impact as a typical foundation of our size? And so the Catholic Initiative was kind of concepted in that vein, alongside the legacy of Bill as a silent giver to the Archdiocese of Detroit for decades. He helped fix tons and tons of cracks, parishes, and schools around this community. And we wanted to carry that on, but we wanted to figure out how we could do that in a way that's sustainable and is having that impact on generations for the long run, maybe not just for tomorrow, but for many generations, right? And so that's all the mindset that I guess went into or the backstory of our mindset before the Catholic Initiative started. And then the Archdiocese came to us with St. Anne's Basilica in downtown Detroit, having seen the work that our foundation had just done at St. John's Seminary, and asked about our involvement in restoring and ensuring the future of St. Anne's Basilica. And it kind of clicked at that point that this is one of the things that we are meant to be helping. This is one of the things that is so important to us. And we think there are plenty of people out here who also want to help ensure that a vibrant parish like St. Anne's, one of historical significance like St. Anne's, but one of low financial means like St. Anne's, can continue on into perpetuity. Many, many, many faithful Catholics and even non-Catholics want to ensure places like that and communities like that are protected. But they're concerned about giving in the same ways that they've given before, because they've seen parishes continue to close. They've seen schools continue to close. And so what we proposed back to the Archdiocese was a new model and a new structure where we can take the property for a place like that, protect it in a single-purpose nonprofit so that it's almost untouchable from anything that may ever happen with the Archdiocese, but also so there's no real financial incentive for a foundation like ours to do anything else with it. In fact, we can't because we lease it back. But it protects the real estate. And then coupled with that, we are engaged in a very unique, you know, church and laity partnership where we're taking responsibility for fundraising. We're taking responsibility for a lot of the investments and investment management that would need to happen alongside of the money that's raised. And then we're also strategic partners to the parish or school with our board and trying to bring other capabilities to bear at those places. And so we've Many conversations with the Archdiocese of Detroit about St. Anne's, but ultimately we're willing to try that out and send it to the Vatican for approval. And we were all shocked when the Vatican said yes. And now we've got three projects, including St. Anne's, that are part of our first wave of Catholic Initiative projects. We have a fourth that's in Vatican approval. And the idea that we have is to take this model kind of to communities around the country, particularly underserved communities, as a means to invest in vibrant but under-resourced parishes and schools to ensure that those communities still have access to that Catholic education and that Catholic parish life forever.
You announced this initiative back in March of 2025. You committed $111 million to begin with. You call it the Legacy of Hope. And you've hired a couple of terrific development officers who raised a lot of money for Notre Dame. What are they chartered with, Kevin?
Well, we are willing to seed fund a project like this. We're willing to seed fund a project like our Monarca Affordable Housing Community down in South Florida. But if these are going to scale and they're going to have lasting effects, then we need to have other partners come alongside, whether it's other for-profit businesses, whether it's other religious communities, whether it's other philanthropic donors or foundations. And that's what our funders are chartered with is we're willing to start this and take, it's a lot of work to get things started. It's a lot of risk to get things started. We're willing to start it, but we need their help to go out and get others to stand with us. Now that we've come to the breach with some of these communities, we need others to stand alongside of us. And that's what they're working hard on doing. And the thing is if you are a pastor like Monsignor Chuck Kosinski down at St. Anne's Basilica, or even Father Mike Schmitz out in Duluth, Minnesota, you went to seminary to minister to people and to minister to communities, not to go be a fundraiser, right? But these pastors end up having to wear all these different hats. The school principal wears all these different hats that distract them from what their true gifts are and their true calling is. And so that's part of this model that we've concepted. Is we will take the risk of hiring these fundraisers to go out and do the fundraising so that you, the pastor, can focus on the mission that you're actually called to serve. And in you doing that, we know that the vibrancy of that community is only going to increase exponentially because you're able to spend time there versus spending the majority of your time fundraising or building management and those sort of things. And so we're trying to get the right people on the bus doing the right things in this model.
We're talking to Kevin Doyle. If you want to learn more, www.thecatholicinitiative.org. Personally, I want to thank Kevin, Mark, Nancy, Karen Pulte, and our entire team at the Pulte Family Foundation and St. John's Resort for being a major sponsor of our weekly radio show. Thanks for believing in this ministry and supporting it, Kevin.
Well, Jack, you're welcome, but thank you for the stories that you share, whether it's on this show or through the Anything Is Possible speaker series. I mean, people need to hear these voices and realize how much, you know, there are people that are making a difference in the world and how ourselves as the audience can hear those stories and apply it to our own life. And I think that's how we get a better society, Jack. So thank you.
All right. Following up on people have to hear stories. You mentioned a young priest, Father Mike Schmitz. He's up in Duluth, Minnesota. This past Monday morning, Minneapolis was 33 below. Not wind chill. That was the temperature. Duluth is even further north. So here is this young priest in the middle of nowhere, known as the podcast priest, the Bible in a Year priest, and you're supporting them. You're supporting him in his ministry. Talk about Father Mike Schmitz and what they're trying to do as well.
Well, if you know who Father Mike is and you know he's got one of the most powerful ministries in the country, probably him and Bishop Barron are two that you would say just reach more souls than almost anybody else through the Catholic faith. And so he has that platform. But if you go up to Duluth and you see the impact that he's having on the students up there, to put his podcast to the side, they have just an incredibly vibrant Catholic community up there that's all been cultivated by Father Mike and his team because he's just so good at his ministry and engaging young people and making the gospel real for them and practical and everything. And so, but like a place like St. Anne's, you know, who doesn't have a lot of dough to help their parish or their community? College kids, right? And so we are supporting his ministry up there because he doesn't have a natural set of donors to turn to in Duluth, Minnesota on a college campus. But he's also gotten involved with us as a strategic advisor so that he can help influence the other communities that we're working with on in terms of replicating the success that he's had in terms of storytelling. We've launched a podcast with him called Called. It tells a lot of amazing stories of people living out the call to be Christ's hands and feet here on earth. And he's helping us think about what is the next project that we should pick off and the next one after that, so that this Catholic initiative vision can come to life in a sustainable way for the future. So it's been a very holistic partnership with Father Mike, but we're very proud and happy to support him because he is just doing amazing work up there in the frozen tundra of Duluth, Minnesota.
Kevin, it's very clear that your number one priority is to help people make a difference. And then the number two priority is to make money. Many, or most, would say, Kevin Doyle, that's backward. What would you say?
Well, we are very clear about what comes first, and it's our mission that comes first. And we also, you know, at our hotels, we have to remind ourselves sometimes, no money, no mission. You know, if those hotels aren't making money, we can't serve that mission. But at the end of the day, it's all for that mission. It's all for the people and the communities that we are looking to serve. And I would say, when we keep that at the forefront, it won't surprise someone like you, Jack, that money also follows, which we can then put right back in the mission. I mean, nothing goes in our pockets, which is what's rewarding about this. And it helps us, you know, in terms of articulating the importance of everything to the people that work at our hotels. But the more we focus on doing good, also the more good that we seem to do at our hotels and other investments, right? Because the people are bought into that mission.
Kevin Doyle, Mark, Karen, Nancy, the entire team, thank you for all you do. Keep up the great, great work, please.
Thanks for the privilege to be able to share some of this story.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.